Are low home prices here to stay for a generation?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open. A look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, just how bad is the housing market and can anything be done about it? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up right now. The Dow up 82 points at 12,529. The NASDAQ up 0.75% right now. And the S&P 500 up about 0.5%. News just in that Rupert Murdoch's News Corporation has dropped its bid for British Sky Broadcasting. Murdoch has been losing support for that deal following the widely reported phone hacking scandal at his former tabloid News of the World. Now let's get to the housing market. The Mortgage Bankers Association said this morning that the number of people applying for mortgages fell 5% last week, even though a standard home loan now comes with a historically low interest rate of just 4.5%. In other words, there is no rebound yet in the housing market. But that may be an understatement, according to Robin Farzad, a senior writer at Bloomberg Businessweek. He's with us now from New York. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, you say that the housing market is worse than we think. How bad is it?
If you had housing starts from their current half-century low rally an unprecedented, let's say, 60 or 70%, they would merely hit the average low of the past six housing recessions since 1950. I mean, did you get that? I mean, we dug ourselves that deep a hole. So there's very, very, very little comfort here.
Well, why hasn't housing recovered along with so many other sectors of the economy?
I think because the bubble on the way up, I mean, the easy answer is that the construction and the froth was just so enormous. I mean, by one estimate, 5 million people who should have been renters were prematurely made homeowners. And now they're in the kind of the wrenching process of having the market evict them out of it. And meanwhile, all of these barely used homes, you have stories in the excerpts of Phoenix and Tucson of bobcats and coyotes taking over half empty homes.
But you're saying that this is really just an issue of inventory. There are just too many houses on the market.
It's so out of whack right now in terms of the foreclosures of the existing homes that could be cleared out. There's just an enormous backlog. You know, the oversupply of homes, according to one analyst, is now at 1.6 million homes. And that's not an incidental number.
Okay, well, Robin, tell me this. How long until we finally see a recovery in housing?
Well, if you subscribe to the idea that housing is a busted up asset bubble and it was the biggest asset bubble we ever have, all you need to do is look at neat analogs in history. The United States railroad building bubble in the 19th century, the tech bubble at the beginning of the last decade. A lot of cases, these prices have not come back to bubble levels. Certainly, if you look at the NASDAQ and companies like Cisco and Dell, I mean, they're nowhere close to where they were back then. So this could well be a generational thing. And that's very hard for a lot of people to hear.
Robin Farzad, senior writer with Bloomberg Businessweek. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Well, in just a few minutes, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke will start testifying at a hearing on Capitol Hill, and he's sure to be asked about the weak housing market. But is there anything more the Fed can do about it? Let's bring in Richard DeKayser, economist with the Parthenon Group, who is with us live from Boston, as he is every Wednesday. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Richard, bad housing market, bad job market. Is there any chance, do you think, of further stimulus, money printing, bond buying, if you will, from the Fed?
I think there's a chance, but I don't think it's a strong chance. You know, the Federal Reserve had its key policy committee meeting just 3 weeks ago, and at that meeting, they were clearly divided. Some members felt as though they should be open to the possibility of doing more if conditions deteriorated, but an equal number seemed inclined to reverse course, actually start tightening policy because they think that the risks of inflation are already too great. Now, in the ensuing 3 weeks, we've had some bad economic numbers, but I don't think they've been bad enough to completely move the Fed significantly in the direction of another round of easing.
Well, what about the other issue that is sure to come up with Chairman Bernanke in this hearing this morning, the debt ceiling debate? Seems now like there might be a deal that doesn't have any budget cuts but does raise the debt ceiling. Do you think the Fed would be okay with something like that?
I think the word okay is exactly the right word to use. I think they'd be just okay. Clearly what the Federal Reserve would prefer, and what I think most people would prefer, is some kind of a deal that really confronts and tackles our long-term debt problems in a very serious and significant way, while at the same time not jeopardizing the economic recovery, which is still on shaky legs. That's what everyone wants. But short of that, I think at least getting a deal to take all the uncertainty out of the markets and calm nerves somewhat would be a good plan B.
Richard DeKayser, economist with the Parthenon Group, thanks as always.
My pleasure.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Netflix is raising prices for its nearly 23 million subscribers, and the company is debundling its DVD-by-mail service from its streaming video service. Marketplace's David Gura has the story.
Netflix will charge up to 60% more for some of its subscription plans.
I think it reeks a little bit of desperation.
Tony Weibel is a media and entertainment analyst with Janney Montgomery Scott. He says the company's old pricing model was unsustainable, and it's been losing money. Netflix's most popular plans bundle unlimited streaming with DVD rentals. The company will now split apart those two services, and if you order both, it'll cost more. Streaming saves the company money on distribution and postage, but the catalog of movies Netflix offers online is much smaller. It hopes to change that.
They are trying to push more people to streaming, but they are also trying to make more money and make their business model ultimately work at the end of the day.
Against competition from Amazon, Apple, and Blockbuster. I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
And finally, from the small screen to the big screen, forget 3D movies. The new thing is 4D, which adds things you smell and feel to the theater experience. A blogger in Seoul, South Korea, recently saw a 4D screening of Kung Fu Panda 2. He said the seats have massage chair motors that punch you lightly in the kidneys when the main character gets hit. But some viewers weren't thrilled by 4D. They complained of nausea while watching Transformers after a burnt rubber smell was pumped into the theater. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The economic story of China the past 20 years is growth, right? But if you look real close, there's this sneaking feeling there that any given moment, it can all go poof.
People who have been doing extremely well, who've got themselves a nice little apartment, who've got themselves a nice car, suddenly wake up tomorrow and their mum's had a stroke. There is no net.
I'm Kai Rizdal. What happens when? That's on our series, The 5-Year Plan, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.